Perfect love drives out fear. Perfect love drives out fear. And you wonder to yourself, okay, what does that really mean? Perfect love drives out fear. I mean, I'd like to know what that means, especially in a time like this. What does it mean that perfect love drives out fear? It'd be pretty helpful to know what that meant because we're pretty fearful right now. There are things happening that we cannot control, that we do not understand. And so we would love to have this fear driven out of us. So what does it mean that perfect love drives out fear? Does this mean that we need to love each other more? We need to stick together during this time, and if we love each other more, that's going to help us to fear less? Or maybe it means that we need to love God more. Love God more, and that'll help us to fear less. And yes, of course, we are to love God more and to love our neighbors more, always, especially during a time like this. That's the two greatest commandments for the Christian. Love God, love your neighbor. And then actually in John, verses 19 through 21, I accidentally read verse 19 in our scripture reading, but in verse 19 through 21, John actually deals with that. We do have to love God, and we have to love our neighbors. But let's focus on that phrase. Perfect love casts out fear. It doesn't have to do with the commandment to love. Or let me put it in this way. That phrase is not about us having to do something. Rather, it is about something that has been done to us. What's being pointed out here is that this action that has been done to us, this perfect love that has been shown to us, it has a relationship with fear. It actually repels fear. The two are like oil and water. They're opposites. Perfect love casts out fear. So we're walking through this strange time when we're faced with so many unknowns with this novel coronavirus. And it seems like there's new information each day, and that doesn't necessarily help because the more we know, the more we don't know. And so our fear seems to be increasing. So let's chew on this truth today. Just for the next few moments, let's chew on this truth. Perfect love drives out fear. Fear. Now, fear is a reality that the Bible deals with a lot. But it actually deals with it in a negative sense. You look through your scriptures and the Bible tells us over and over and over again, do not fear. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Fear not. And when we read those verses, it kind of makes us feel guilty. At least me, it kind of makes me feel guilty because I fear and because I doubt. You know, I'm looking at my phone all day. Every 15, 30 minutes, I'm getting a new notification about coronavirus. And I'm getting all these emails from my kids' school. I'm getting emails from the city of Overland Park, from Johnson County. I'm getting emails from my grocery store. I'm getting emails from McDonald's. I'm getting emails from even IKEA. And then, of course, this is probably the most I've sent the church emails since I've been here. We're getting all these emails, and so we're freaking out a little bit. We're freaking out. We got to admit that. We have fear. And then we know that fear feeds fear. The fear causes us to fear other things, and now we're fearing lack. We're going to lack what we need. We're going to run out of supplies. We look at the pictures of the empty store shelves. There's a shortage of this, a shortage of that. And then we get into this hoarding mentality, which is driven by fear. So how do we reconcile this fear with what the Bible says? The Bible says, do not fear. Fear not. But I am fearful. Does it mean I'm a bad Christian? Does it mean that you're a bad Christian? Well, it does mean that you're human. And that you're a sinner. Fear is the rational response of the fallen mind. And it is rational. It's rational. These fears are based upon very real potentials. You know, what if I do get sick? What if my parents get sick? My parents are over 70. What's going to happen? What if I get someone else sick and then I got to deal with that guilt? What if I run out of toilet paper? That's a big one right now. What God is concerned with is not necessarily that you're going to feel fear, because we are all going to feel fear. What God is concerned with is, what are you going to do out of that fear? How are you going to respond as a Christian? When you fear, are you going to doubt what God says in His Word? That He loves you? That He's sovereign over all things? That He cares about you? Will you doubt what God tells you to do in His Word, which is to die to yourself and love others and serve others? Will this viral outbreak cause you to say, you know what, God, I know what your word says, I know what your will is, but right now I'm just going to ignore that stuff because I need to protect myself. I need to self-preserve. I need to turn on this survival of the fittest mode, and so now I'm not necessarily a Christian. I'm going to become kind of a Darwinist, and it's all about me, my survival, me and my family, my tribe. You know, everyone else is a potential danger. You're a potential carrier. You're a hindrance to my comfort. You're a threat to my happiness, my safety. And so we get this mentality where we treat everyone else as an enemy. I believe we all have these tendencies. We all have these tendencies. Even I have given suspicious looks to people with my same skin color during this last week. I told myself I shouldn't do that because that's what I'm telling other people not to do. But I have these tendencies inside me to not love others during these times. And when I do that, when we do that, we're doubting God's plan for us. God is calling us to be lovers of others because we have received His love. So how do we guard ourselves now? So we have this fear. So how do we guard ourselves from acting out of this fear? Well, the first thing we have to do is acknowledge this. We actually have a fear deficiency. We have a fear deficiency. Okay, I know you're fearing a lot right now, so let me explain. You know, we have a lot of things we fear. We've got this virus. We can't see it. We don't know where it is. We don't know who has it. We have this lack of basic, you know, necessities, this shortage of supplies. We've got the threat of the loss of loved ones. We even have the threat of maybe even us getting sick and losing our own lives. So we fear a lot, but what I'm telling you is that we have a fear deficiency. Yeah, we got all the worries of the world, and let me just add to that, we also have to worry about Satan and demons. There's spiritual warfare we have to worry about and all this. So there's all these things to worry about. But of all these things we worry about, the worst that any of that can do, the worst is take away your physical body. But God, only God has the power to destroy not only your body, but your soul. Your eternal soul, Matthew 10:28. And so we have this fear deficiency. We're fearing these things, these threats too much. And we don't fear God enough. We're not fearing God enough. It's like we fall into a lion's cage and we're scared of the little mice that are running around. Fear deficiency. Recall how powerful and fearsome our God is. And that's why we need to read our Old Testaments. Recall who God is. Recall who He is to sinners who in their sin reject God, turn away from him, spit in his face and turn away from him. Recall what God does to sinners. He becomes to them a destroyer. Do you recognize in the Old Testament that God is the God of pestilence? Do you recognize that God sent diseases? He sent epidemics to punish sinners? I'm not saying that's what he's doing today, but he did that in one slice of redemptive history to punish sinners. And that's not even the worst part, because after a physical death for the sinner would come something much worse, the eternal destruction of their souls consumed in the eternal fire of his perfect wrath and justice. We have a fear deficiency. We don't fear God enough, and this has caused these other fears to balloon out of proportion, and they've consumed our lives. And I'm not just talking about the coronavirus, friends. Unhappiness. Boredom. We're scared to be bored. Failure. Unfulfillment. Oh, how we fear living a life where we don't feel like we're doing something meaningful. And these things are absolutely consuming our lives, and they're causing us to live in these ways that are contrary to how God calls us to live. Because our lives now are about achieving my happiness, my comfort, my fulfillment. Might I suggest to you in this day, this crazy day, that, I mean, this is unprecedented in our lifetimes. We don't know what's going on. Might I suggest to you that what we need to do is fix our fear deficiency. And we need to fear the one who deserves our fear. Because fearing God is the only way we're going to drive out fear. I know that seems contradictory. Let me say it again. Fearing God is the only way we're going to drive out fear. And I know that sounds wrong, but let me explain to you from the text. Look at the text. Verse 16 is where we began. And there John wrote, God is love. God is love. Now, before that verse, of course, we've skipped everything that came before, and there's these beautiful truths that came before this verse about how God is love and how God shows this love by sending us his Son, Jesus Christ, and how God shows this love by also giving us his Spirit, and how we can know this love and rely on this love. That's what comes previous to this. And now we're here with the statement, God is love. And then we continue in verse 17. Which is where now we start to deal with the fear. So God is love. Now we're going to start to deal with this fear. Verse 17, this is how love is made complete among us. Or in other words, this is how we're being perfected. God's love is actually doing something to us. It's filling us. It's completing us. It's making us perfect. So that, writes John, we will have confidence on the day of judgment. And now comes, in verse 17, what I believe is one of the most beautiful statements in all of Scripture. Maybe one that we tend to just gloss over here. In this world, we are like Jesus. In this world, we are like Jesus. Or the ESV says, as he is, so also are we in this world. As Jesus is, so also are we. And this is what John is saying here. There's a God that you have to fear. He is more fearsome than anything else in the entire universe. And this God is coming, and there's this day of judgment. And God is going to come and judge sinners. He's going to come to destroy both body and soul in his righteous justice. And on that day, what John is saying is that you, Christian, you have confidence. You have confidence to stand before the most fearsome entity in the entire universe. Why? Because you are like him. Because in this world, we are like Jesus. You are like Jesus. My favorite presidential photograph, it's a picture of John F. Kennedy. And he's sitting at the Resolute desk. This is official. This is the desk of the most powerful office in the free world. On this desk, decisions are made that affect millions of lives, that affect billions of dollars being moved across markets. And as he's doing his work, underneath the desk of the most powerful man is his son, JFK Jr., hiding safely in this little nook, what he affectionately calls his secret door. And that's what it means that you are like Jesus. You need not fear the fearsome God, because when he looks at you, you are like Jesus. You are to God a child. You are a child of God. You may interrupt your father when he's at his desk dealing with matters of the universe. You may tug on his leg and he will listen to you. He will always have time for you. He will hide you safely under his wing. In this world, we are like Jesus. As he is, so are we. This is why John goes on in verse 18 now. There's no fear in love. There's no fear in love. Perfect love, that's God's love for you, not what you do. It's God's perfect love for you as a father loves a son. Perfect love drives out fear. There it is. Perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. Fear has to do with judgment. And you no longer need to fear punishment. You need no longer fear judgment because you are like Jesus. That is the gospel. That is our beautiful gospel encapsulated in this statement. As he is, so also are we in this world. That's not always how we feel, though, is it? So, you know, we're like Jesus and we're God's children, but we don't feel like it all the time because we fear. Jesus didn't fear. We doubt. Jesus didn't doubt. We sin. So how in the world, when God looks at us, how does he see someone like Jesus? How does he see a precious child? Well, because the Jesus that we are like became like us. The Son of God became man. He took on flesh. He put on our weakness, and then he came and lived in this broken world on our behalf. The main difference being he did not sin. He lived a life of perfect righteousness, and then at the end of his life, you know what he did? He willingly gave it up. He clothed us with his righteousness, and then he took our sin, and he took our death. And he made it his own, and he died. And so everything we have to fear, everything, of course, chief amongst all those things being the wrath of a holy God, everything that we have to fear, he took for you at the cross. Jesus took for you at the cross. And now here we are in the aftermath. of Calvary. We're still sinners, but we're being made perfect. We're still fearful. We're still doubting. It's to be expected. We're not God after all. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Yet we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ today, right now. You are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So you can know whenever God looks at you, even when you're at your worst, whenever God looks at you, he sees his child. He'll never reject you. He'll never abandon you. You need not fear his punishment, because in Christ, his love for you is perfect. And that's the perfect love that now drives out fear and helps us to live without fear today. Because if you don't need to fear holy God any longer, why would you fear anything else? You know, you're thrown into the lion's cage. If you've befriended the lion, why would you need to be scared of little mice? Because you and I today are in Christ, God's love for us has been sealed. It's a perfect love. It is unbreakable. Sealed. The Bible calls it a covenant. The covenant has been ratified by the shedding of blood. Whose blood? The blood of the Son of God. That is an unbreakable covenant. It is so sure, this bond of God's love, that Scripture says that not even death or life, not angels or rulers, not things that are present or things to come, not powers, not height, not depth, not coronavirus, or whatever disease comes next, not shortages of food, not fluctuations of the stock market, nothing. Scripture says nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's perfect love. That's God's perfect love for you today, right now. And it casts out fear. Remember that, Christians. Remember that, church. So you're in your homes with your loved ones. Remember, there is a God who loves you with a perfect love. In this strange time, in this age of coronavirus, there is a God who holds you, and nothing can loosen his hold of you. Nothing can loosen his grip. It is a perfect, loving grip. And because he's holding on to you, you can hold on as well. So persevere. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would help us to take what we know in our heads and to sink it deep down into our hearts, that we would know that there is a love that is perfect, unlike any other love in this world. That is the love with which you love us, the same love with which you loved your Son. But astoundingly, because we were sinners, you saw fit to send your beloved Son to die for us, that we would not have to face the punishment for our sin, not have to face the most fearful situation there is, the presence of a holy God and his wrath. We would avoid that by grace. And we would have redemption in Christ. And that is our reality today. And because we have no fear of your judgment, there is truly nothing that could separate us from you. May that truth help us to live with wisdom, with confidence, with joy and happiness, with peace that transcends all understanding, that guards our hearts and minds, and helps us to navigate this season, and when this ends, the rest of our lives, because life is troubled, Lord. So help us. We thank you, Father, for giving us this time of worship in this day. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.